Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk hosts as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here. I'm sorry that I was off on Wednesday. I went to St. Louis to go see Kendrick Lamar. Saw all the rain. Did not see the Royals on Wednesday because the game got rained out, but did watch the doubleheader yesterday. We had a little bit of a show yesterday. I don't even know if you can call that like a, it wasn't even a hors d'oeuvre. I don't know what we did yesterday. It was a little piece of a show, but we got a full show planned for you guys today. Really excited to be here. Let me give you the breakdown on what we're going to be doing. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Matt Evans of Channel 9 News right here in Kansas City to get his thoughts on the Missouri special session. That's how we're going to begin today's show. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Josh Vernier is going to be on the show. Jonathan Ketz is going to be on the show, who is also covering the Missouri session. We'll talk a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk some about a very exciting game one of the NBA Finals. I am here to tell you right now, anybody talking to me about the television ratings of yesterday's NBA Finals is a goofy to me. I don't know how that can be your concern after we saw one of the great comebacks in NBA Finals history yesterday. You're talking about how many people watched the game on television. Please keep that weird energy away from me. We'll talk about that. There is so much to get into in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you guys. It is absolutely beautiful outside. I'm in a good mood. Rob is in a good mood. Really excited to be here. Before we get into the meat of the show today, I need to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two friends to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars will not be choosers. If you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would be thrilled about it. All right, Rob, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. It feels like we are coming down the home stretch. You know, I went to the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. You know, when they wound that final bend, and now you get to see the horses that are in contention who can actually win the Kentucky Derby. It is a very exciting time. At this point, all of the information is out there, the special session. So to let you guys in on what's happening, we're going to talk to Matt Evans more about this. It passed in the Senate the first time, or passed in the House the first time. It didn't pass in the Senate. This time it passed in the Senate, so no reason to think that it just passed in the House a couple of weeks ago Now it is going to fail in the House. So every expectation is that this thing is going to get passed and that Missouri is going to have a financial package that they have put together to try to keep the Chiefs on this side of state line. Now, I think it is very, very important because there are two roads that we can go down. Rob, let's start with the Chiefs. I feel like it is the much more interesting story out of the two. There are two pathways ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs. For those of you that are wondering, this bill, this money is not earmarked for a new stadium. It is earmarked for a renovation of the current structure at Arrowhead. Now, the money that they are going to get, it doesn't pay for all of the renovation. The Chiefs would need to come up with some other money from elsewhere. Now, maybe that's private money. Maybe that is them putting up their own money, or it is potentially us helping pay for the renovations at Arrowhead. If you want to keep it on the Missouri side, we had Jonathan Ketzel on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he believes that in November, there could potentially be a vote on if we want a renovation of Arrowhead Stadium.
I mean, I think the Chiefs would love to be untied from the Royals with the county, meaning I think that they would either A, like for the Royals to be in Kansas, B, like for the, we haven't even talked about North Kansas City, B, for the Royals to be there, or C, be at Washington Square Park and no longer getting county sales tax dollars. And something that I have heard, which may be interesting, I mean, I'm wondering if the Chiefs would be willing to be on a November ballot in Jackson County by themselves. I think that's something else that I would love to confirm here soon.
So that was Jonathan Ketz. He believes that the Chiefs could potentially be on a ballot for themselves coming up in the next 5 months. This is a question that none of us have the answer to. That is really the $2 billion question with the Chiefs. What do you guys want? Because at the very beginning of this thing, I'm talking about last year when the 3/8 of a cent sales tax was originally proposed, the Chiefs expressed how much they really wanted to stay at Arrowhead. There is a pathway for them to stay at Arrowhead now. There is a financial package that is put together by the state of Missouri. Now, sure, you're going to need to get up some more money, but with the popularity of the Chiefs and how much people love Arrowhead, and this vote we don't believe would be tied to the Royals in any way, it would then come down to the people in Jackson County, the people of Kansas City, Missouri. Do you want to preserve Arrowhead, or do you want them to go on the other side? That is a question that I don't have the answer to, but I do think it is very important to note. Maybe the Chiefs pass back last April if it's not tethered to the Royals in a downtown stadium. All of the messaging, all of the wording about what happened a year ago was all tied to, I don't want the Royals to move to the crossroads. It wasn't tied to, we don't want to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. It was more directly tied to, we like where the stadiums are, and we don't know why you want to take the stadiums and now build them directly on top of a very popular neighborhood and a fabric of our city. That is not what this would be. This is, we've come up with half the money as the state of Missouri. Hey, Jackson County, hey, Kansas City, you guys are going to have to pitch in and come up with your own additional funding if you want to do this. I firmly believe that if this is on the ballot, if the Chiefs come back to you with a real concrete plan, this is what we plan on doing with Kauffman Stadium and the space that is no longer going to be there. This is how we think the renovations can help us. These are the renovations that we have proposed at Arrowhead with $1.1 billion of this funding. This is what we think will happen. I believe that will pass. So that's one side of it. The other side is a very simple one. Do the Chiefs want a new stadium? Because if you want a new stadium, then there's no reason to be having this conversation about Missouri. They're not presenting an option for a new stadium. They're presenting an option to renovate the structure that you've told us that you love so much. That if the Chiefs go along with this renovation, it now needs to be in the same conversation with Lambeau. If the Chiefs and the state of Missouri and Jackson County, if they put $1.1 billion back into this structure that was built in 1972, it's really one of the last of its kind. Everybody else has a new football stadium. Everybody else is building a new football stadium. Some of them are building it in the city. Some of them are building it in the suburbs. That's the argument they're having right now with Soldier Field. That's the argument that's happening in Cleveland right now. Everybody has a new stadium other than the Packers. Everybody does. So you got a chance to really put yourself in a very, very unique situation if you want to go the renovation route. But I don't know. So earlier today, Nate Taylor, shout out to Nate Taylor. He was on the midday show and he said this about the possibility of them getting a dome and what it would mean for the Chiefs.
Clark Hunt wants a dome. Like, there's no...
Does he think he can convince the NFL to give him a Super Bowl?
Yes. Guys, they build a dome, they get in the Super Bowl, period.
That was Nate Taylor. I also want to play for you the weight of staying and leaving and what this could mean for the Chiefs.
You know, you can go back to Lynn Dawson. Like, you look at all those games. They all look cold. They all look frigid. It looks awesome, you know. Obviously, we know what the Marty Schottenheimer era was. Mm-hmm. Guys, the field was frozen in 1995. That's always been the push-pull with Clark Hunt. It's just like, man, can I really tear down the stadium that my father built? That will be, by 2027, the oldest stadium in the American Football Conference.
Yeah,
the league that, like, he basically founded. And so on one end, they want it to be Wrigley Field. They want it to be the new Lambeau Field, Soldier Field kind of thing. But, I mean, it's a business, guys.
I mean, that's really the debate that now we are having. This conversation, in my opinion, is no longer about star bonds. This conversation is no longer about tax money. They are planning on using your tax money on either side of the state. So I understand if you're thinking, hey, how do we have money to pay for this, but we don't have money to pay for these other social issues? I think you are making a very fair point. That just doesn't matter anymore. If you live in the Kansas City metropolitan area, the Chiefs are not moving out of the metro, and they are going to be taking tax dollars from one side of the state. So we're now just trying to figure out what side of the state. We now have the two doors that the Chiefs can walk past. Do they see their stadium as Lambeau? Do they see it as Soldier Field? Do they see it as something worth preserving and something worth putting $1 billion into and staying on this side of state line for at least another 30 years? Do they see it like it's Cameron Indoor Stadium? Do they see it like it's Allen Fieldhouse? If they see it like that, they are going to go with the renovation route. Or do they want the Super Bowl? Do they want WrestleMania? Do they want the Final Four? Do they want the shiny new stadium and all of the great things that come with having a new stadium? I believe we're going to get our answer very, very quick. If you believe the state of Kansas, and at this point, I don't really know why it would take too much longer if you're the Chiefs. You've had the information about Kansas, and if you want to move over there for almost a year now, this special session just got closed on the Missouri side. So maybe you're trying to make sure a couple of different things. You're trying to figure out some things on this side, but at least your Kansas information and data that needed to be collected, that should have been done a long time ago. The deal is the deal. There is no adding to it. There is no taking away from it. If you want to move over here next to Hollywood Casino, next to Kansas Speedway, you know what it is. So I don't know if this is going to take another 50 days or so. I got a feeling we're going to know prior to the 4th of July. I think we're going to have a really clear picture on what both of these teams are going to do. We'll ask Matt Evans with Channel 9 if he agrees, if he thinks that we are in the final stretches of this thing of learning what the future of the Truman Sports Complex is going to be, the future of the Chiefs, and also the Royals. We got Matt Evans of Channel 9 coming up to tell us everything about the Missouri special session. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Evans of Channel 9 News. He has been all over this Missouri special session. Matt, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. It's a Friday. It's not a bad day outside. I just got off the golf course. I can't complain.
Matt, let me ask you this question, because I'm guessing you've done a lot of great things in your career. Where does Coming on the Drive rank?
Oh, it's got to be top five, at least. You know, it's not quite flying with the Blue Angels, but it is. I mean, it's up there. It's a good time.
I mean, I don't know why you had to say it like that, because, like, now I feel kind of silly asking you the question. You really trying to flex your resume now. You didn't have to do that.
Hey, you asked that answer.
All right, so let's start with this. What is the number one thing that the public needs to know about this Missouri special session? Let's say that somebody was unaware that this was even going on and they are just finding out about this in the last 24 hours. What should the average Missouri resident need to know about this?
Well, basically it means Missouri is finally answering what Kansas tried to do last year with the stadium. So the special session is not completely over, but that stadium bill has cleared its biggest hurdle by far in the Missouri State Senate. It's heading to the House on Monday, but the House overwhelmingly passed a very similar proposal just a few weeks ago in late May. So they're probably going to send it on to the governor's desk. This was Governor Kehoe's plan in the first place. He'll put his signature on it and likely sign it into law. And what this means is that Missouri is going to have what the teams have called a viable offer before that June 30th deadline that Kansas had. You may remember last year, Kansas put up that big Star Bonds package, up to 70% of a new stadium for the Chiefs or Royals. Come on over to the Kansas side of the state line. The Sunflower State's looking great. And then for pretty much a year after that, it was crickets from the Missouri side, and people were getting frustrated. And this is essentially Missouri's response to Kansas's pitch to the teams. And hearing from team representatives on Tuesday during a Senate committee hearing, both the Royals and the Chiefs said that while maybe the numbers aren't quite as sweet on the Missouri side, the bill in Missouri would pay for up to 50% of stadiums. Both have said that this is a proposal that could work for them and could keep them both in the Show Me State.
Matt, what changed? Because there obviously was strong opposition to this just 3 weeks ago that they needed this special session in order to get this passed. What changed to get this through?
Well, this still wasn't a slam dunk. I mean, it eked through the Senate. You need 18 votes in the Senate to pass a bill. This got 19. So, I mean, it was not a slam dunk by any means. There's a lot of things that were at work in the Senate during this special session. There was storm relief funding for victims in St. Louis. There was capital improvement projects across the state. There were all these things that both Democrats and Republicans wanted in order to also vote for the stadium bill. And we saw on Wednesday, the Senate was supposed to go in at 10 o'clock in the morning. They didn't go in until 5 p.m. because all day there was behind the scenes negotiating between senators and the governor's office. And I'll say this, this is a huge win for Governor Mike Kehoe. He is a businessman by trade, and he worked this deal and did what he had to do to get the votes to get it across, because late in the afternoon, he amended his call for a special session to allow some of these other issues that senators wanted to be also passed during this special session. And that probably got him the votes that he needed to get this over the finish line. So there are a whole lot of deal making happening pretty much all the way until the overnight hours, because even then there was a filibuster when this thing was brought up over property tax relief. And then eventually that filibuster broke, and about 2:30 in the morning, they wound up passing the bill. But again, it was still a very, very close vote. So really what changed was that there was enough other things out there to get enough Republicans and Democrats to want to vote for this thing, because 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats voted against it. So it was not along party lines by any means.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans, learning more about the Missouri special session. It looks like they are going to pass the bill to help fund the stadium. All right, let's start with this, and then we'll dive individually more into one of the two teams. Which team do you think this bill is better for? Do you think this is better for the Chiefs, or do you think this is better for the Royals?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's good for both of them, but maybe better for the Chiefs, because we heard from the teams that they still need local funding. And that this bill includes that, too. Like, there still needs to be another vote. A lot of people aren't talking about that, but there still needs to be a vote, whether that's this November or next year. Another vote of the people is going to be required for both of these teams. And it's going to be a lot easier for the Chiefs to get a vote done in Jackson County than the Royals. We just know that. And we also learned a lot more about the Chiefs' plans at Arrowhead Stadium. We learned that they would spend $1.15 billion with a B to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. Also, the Chiefs lobbyist said, you know, the deal might not be as good in Missouri. The numbers might not be there, but no stadium is ever going to be like Arrowhead. He admitted that if they go to Kansas, it'll be a domed stadium. He admitted it'll never be the loudest stadium in the world again. It's clear that the Chiefs love Arrowhead, and they want to try and see if they can make that work. As far as the Royals are concerned, I think it's still a potential good deal for them if they're going to wind up downtown or in Clay County. That's the big question. And again, a public vote is going to be needed, and we saw what happened with the last public vote, which had the Chiefs attached to it too, but a lot of people were really caught up in the Royals' plans of all of that. And then they've polled it out in Clay County as well, and there's been different polls done, and some of those aren't as good as others. So, I mean, I think if the Chiefs are looking at this, they love Arrowhead. This gives them a very clear, easier path to stay there than it was before.
So let's start with the Royals. Do you see a scenario in which the Royals can get a new stadium in Missouri without this having to go to a vote? Because I think you and I agree, and maybe you disagree, where if the Chiefs and Clark Hunt put a really good renovation plan on the ballot for Jackson County in November, I believe that would pass. I'm not really sure if Jackson County is going to vote to give the Royals any money for this thing, so they're going to have to push this through without a public vote. Do you see a scenario in which the Royals get a new stadium in downtown or Washington Square Park without this having to go to a vote?
Potentially. I mean, you could potentially find a way in the county, in the city coffers to put up some money. So the way this Missouri bill works, right, it says that there still needs to be significant local funding. Now, it doesn't spell out exactly what that means. So if that's a sales tax, if that's bonds, what I don't know. It could be potentially there could be a path there. The Royals lobbyist was not as clear about that. The Chiefs lobbyist was very clear. We're still going to ask Jackson County taxpayers for a vote. And whether that's a full 3/8 cents or maybe they knock it down a little bit, I don't know. But the Chiefs lobbyist is very clear. We're still going to need a public vote if we're going to stay. The Royals lobbyist was not as clear because they still haven't chosen exactly where they want to go. But I do agree. I think if the Royals have another vote in Jackson County, it's going to be tough to pass. I think the Chiefs vote could probably get done. A Royals vote in Clay County isn't exactly a slam dunk either. So, you know, we'll have to see exactly where they choose. And exactly what the county and the city can offer. And if there's a way to get this done without a public vote, they're going to take it.
One reason why I voted yes the last time that this bill came up, a lot of it was due to the fact of, I live in Missouri, so I don't want the teams to move to Kansas, but it's not the worst thing if they move to Kansas. Another reason is why I believe that that sales tax, I believe we're always going to pay it. I believe what's going to happen if the Chiefs stay on the Missouri side is coming up in November or whenever that vote was going to be, that Clark Hunt is just going to simply ask us to give all of that money to him and no longer split it with the Royals. To me, that seems to be the only way to keep the Chiefs in their current structure is what we've already been paying in that sales tax that has been split between the two pro teams. I think the Chiefs are not going to take over that tax.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because the fact too is that Arrowhead is a beautiful stadium, but it's getting old, and if at the end of this deal, which would be essentially 30 years, it would be in its 80s, you know. So if you get to that point, all of that money from the public sales tax vote, all that money from the 3/8 cent sales tax in Jackson County, that does not go to stadium improvements. That goes to maintenance of the facility. It's 20 some million dollars a year for the Chiefs, and it goes strictly to maintenance of the facility. So even with the plans that they rolled out last April, that money would not fund those plans. That money would allow them to find other funding for those plans because they'd have that maintenance fund. So yeah, I mean, the older that building gets, the more money they're going to need to maintain it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this right before you popped on. To me, the question is, do you want Arrowhead to turn into Lambeau? Like, Lambeau is an historic place. People come from around the world to see Lambeau and to be around it because of its history, because of its tradition. Everybody else in the NFL tears down their old stadium and builds a new one. Nothing wrong with that. You've probably been to a lot of these stadiums, and they're beautiful stadiums. This is that crossroad to me with Clark Hunt as now the owner of the team. Hey, if you want Allegiant, if you want SoFi, if you want the beautiful $2 billion stadium, then here is the option to go do it. But if you think this is Fenway, if you think this is Wrigley, if you think it's Lambeau, then this is your time to preserve it and to put the $1.1 billion back into Arrowhead and keep it alive for another 30, 35 years.
You're exactly on the money. And that's exactly what the Chiefs ownership is now weighing, because there are pros and cons to both, right? I mean, the pro to going over to the Kansas side, maybe the numbers are better. You get a dome stadium. You have the potential to have Super Bowls, Final Fours, I mean, all sorts of other kind of activity out there in which the ownership can make more money, right? But, I mean, you got to remember, Clark Hunt, he's a big fan of tradition. Lamar Hunt built that stadium. That's the house that Lamar built. And that means something to the Hunt family. So, I mean, you cannot discount that. And we know that they love Arrowhead Stadium. And it is kind of in that talk. Now, maybe it's not Lambeau or Fenway, you know, but I mean, it's up there. You know, it is one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. And I think if you invest in it for another 30 years, it's going to be in that conversation a lot more. I mean, the shiny stadiums, they're great, right? But what are they going to look like in 30 years? You're going to knock those down in 30 years and build another shiny stadium? You know, we don't know how all that's going to play out too. So I think the ownership right now is trying to weigh those exact two options they have, and they have them both in front of them, and they've got to make a decision by the end of this month.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans of Channel 9 News for a couple more minutes. He has been following the Missouri special session that they have put a bill together to help finance stadiums for the Chiefs and the Royals. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs' perspective on this, and we were just getting to it a little bit. Are you looking at a timetable of this potentially being November of when a vote would potentially happen to help pay, I guess, and cover the rest of the renovations?
Yeah, it could be November. It could potentially be April next year. I'm not sure what the timeline is on that, because then you've also got to get the Jackson County legislature involved. They have to put it on the ballot. They have to figure out a whole lot of stuff, too. And we saw what happened last time with that. So, I mean, that's not going to be an easy slam dunk for them either. But, yeah, if the Chiefs decide to stay in Missouri, they've made it very clear that they will go back to the public for another vote. As far as the timing on that, I'm not really sure. It could be late this year, early next year. I would think they would want to get it done earlier, potentially November. But then also they've talked about the, as far as timeline for starting those renovations, they want to start in 27 or 28. So it'd be after the World Cup. So they've got a little bit of leeway, a little bit of wiggle room there, depending on what their ultimate plans are.
I do want to go back to maybe more specifics about the two teams, but it feels to me like we are wrapping this thing up. Like if this is a baseball game, we are heading into the eighth inning of all of this. Is that how you kind of see it? We have the deadline coming up in 24 days on the Kansas side. There's been a bill passed in Missouri. There's been this information on Kansas that's been out there for a year. So this doesn't feel like this conversation is going to drag into training camp, for example. It feels like we're about to wrap this thing up.
I think so. And Kansas has made it very clear that they are not going to extend that Star Bonds proposal. So they've had it out there for a year. They've said the teams have had plenty of time to negotiate and talk it over. They're not interested in extending it. So I do think in hearing from both team representatives, they have both said that they will make a decision in the month of June between the Missouri and Kansas plans right now. Now, there's also a chance to choose neither and explore other options. I mean, but it's tough. I do think we are nearing the end of it. And I think there is an awful lot of fatigue out there about exactly what the deal is, where they're going to go. And I think probably most of your listeners would agree, just choose somewhere. All right. You know, we've been talking about this ad nauseum for years now, you know, and I think a lot of people are kind of getting to that point. Like, okay, let's choose. And I think that time is sooner rather than later.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Evans here for a couple more minutes. All right, let's start with the Royals. If you had to guess, what do you think the Royals want to do? Because the Royals, from the very, very beginning, the Royals have been very clear on we want a downtown stadium. Now they're out purchasing land on 119th and all. They're talking to Clay County. Neither one of those things are in downtown Kansas City. What do you think the John Sherman and the Royals ownership group, what do you think they want to do?
I don't even know anymore. I really don't. That's the million-dollar question. I think they're still trying to figure that out, too, because they're trying to weigh all these different options. They're trying to position themselves in several different locations, and they've always kind of had three or four locations they've been bouncing around ever since the start of this. You know, I mean, back when all this was started, when you mentioned downtown baseball, you thought the East Village location was the spot. Then there was the Crossroads location. Now it's Washington Square Park. I mean, they've bounced around three times just in downtown. And then the Clay County proposal is interesting because you're not in downtown, but you're not too far from downtown either. So you kind of get a little bit of that downtown vibe from that Clay County, that North Kansas City location. And then the Kansas side, obviously, with up to 70% paying for a stadium, that's not an offer they can ignore either. So I think that they are still trying to figure all of that out, too. I don't know exactly what they want, and I don't know if they know exactly what they want right now either.
I was going to ask you that same question about the Chiefs, where the Chiefs, to me, it seems like much more of a 50-50. Like, the Chiefs have a legitimate dilemma. I could certainly understand, as an organization that has shown they're not just in the football business, they're in the festival business, they're in the concert business, the Chiefs are turning their facility into more than just a football place. Well, one option gives you a full option of everything that you can do, and the other option comes down to preserving that history that you and I were talking about. I asked you that question about the Royals. What do you think, Clark Hunt, what do you think the Chiefs want to do?
That's a good question too. I mean, it's almost a bit of a coin flip, because you mentioned that both are good options for different reasons, right? There's the history, there's the lore of Arrowhead Stadium. It's the loudest stadium in the world. There's never going to be another one like it. But also on the Kansas side of the state line, if you build Dome Stadium, you have all of those other opportunities for festivals and concerts and Final Four, Super Bowls, what may have you. So I think that the Chiefs' decision, almost in a way, is it's clearer, but it might be even more difficult, because they're trying to weigh these two paths, and whatever path they choose is the path they're going down for at least the next 30 years. I mean, this is a big decision for the organization, for the Metro, and it's one that they're trying to figure out right now, is which one offers them as an organization the best path forward, because once you make this decision and you go down that road, it's not like, oh, well, never mind. Actually, we changed our mind. We want to move back to Arrowhead. It'll be gone. You know, so I think that that's a really, really difficult decision for the Chiefs and two very distinct roads. And which one is the right one for Clark Hunt and the Chiefs as a whole, that's going to be up to them.
Last thing, Matt, and I'll get you out of here with this. During one of the special session meetings, one of the Missouri senators said that the Royals were approached by Salt Lake City and Nashville to potentially move there.
Yep, yep. That, and we have heard that for a while now. I mean, you probably remember after the vote went down in April, Nashville was almost immediately floated. And I do think that there are cities out there that are putting their at least feelers out for both teams, because if there's an NBA or NHL or WNBA team that's up for grabs, do you think Mayor Quentin Lucas doesn't want to say, hey, Kansas City could be your home? These franchises, these organizations are huge economic drivers, and they are huge as far as the reach for Kansas City. That's a lot of what we heard in that Senate debate is all these primetime games. It's Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City. People know Kansas City worldwide now because of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, when you talk about the name recognition of our area, having these teams is a huge boost. And if you're an area without an NFL or an MLB team and you hear that there could potentially be one up for grabs, I think you're making at least a phone call and saying, hey, you know, if it doesn't work out where you're at, here's what we have to offer to.
That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Matt, what is your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Favorite Taylor Swift song?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a Swiftie.
I know you got one, though. You got one.
Okay, let me think. This is going to go – it's got to go way back. My girlfriend in high school used to listen to Taylor Swift. All-American Girl, is that one?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you.
I think. Something – I don't know. I can't remember.
That is Matt Evans. To be fair, though, that lets you know how long Taylor Swift has been in our lives. Your girlfriend in high school used to listen to Taylor Swift, and she's still just as popular as she's ever been.
I know. It's wild. It's crazy.
That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Matt, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Carrington.
Absolutely. That is Matt Evans joining us on the show today. Rob, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Shake It Off.
That's a good one. I can't hate on Shake It Off. Shake It Off, it does make me feel good, too. Because the players are going to play. I mean, there's one thing that we do know. We know the players are going to play. And the haters, they're usually going to hate. They don't know what else to do other than to hate. So Curtis Gregory, who is a Missouri senator, he said during the Missouri special session that Salt Lake City and Nashville both reached out to the Royals to make a offer for their teams. I mean, if you're Salt Lake City and Nashville, don't you kind of have to do that? Now, I don't think the Royals really entertain the possibility of it. And obviously, I think their number one, number two, and number three priority are to stay in the Kansas City metro area, whether that's on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. But, I mean, if it fails in one state and now they have a stadium situation in limbo, if you're not Nashville or Salt Lake City and you're not at least putting a package together to try to convince them, hey, look, if you guys can't get a new stadium where you are, we've got $700 million ready for you to build a new stadium. I mean, you probably shouldn't be the mayor of either one of those cities if you can't put that together.
I mean, we saw something similar. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but remember post-vote? The city of San Antonio put out a proposal that was like, hey, we can build a new football stadium, just a heads up. It was mostly just posturing. Hey, look what we can do for you if you can't get it there. That's what happens after votes like this. And that we have argued back and forth. I've gone back and forth the text line, social media about the Kansas versus Missouri side. But at its core, I do think as a metro area, we need to be largely happy with the fact that we are not talking about the teams leaving. Remember, we were kids, and the Penguins were using Kansas City as leverage to get a new stadium. You haven't seen that from the Royals or the Chiefs. Kansas might be leverage, but like you've said dozens of times in the show, Kansas isn't that bad to go to Missouri. Missouri isn't that bad to go to live in Kansas. You haven't seen Salt Lake, Nashville, you know, whatever, Fargo pop up as leverage. It has been, hey, these teams are the Metro's teams, a matter of where in the Metro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about the idea of it. I mean, I don't want the Chiefs to be on 119th and all, but them moving to 119th and all is definitely not the worst possible outcome. Not at all the worst possible outcome. In fact, that is what dozens of cities around the United, like
It's not like Kansas City is the only city that is playing the suburbs against the urban population, right? Like that literally happened in Atlanta. Turner Field was right down the street from the Georgia Dome, and then they just moved to a beautiful stadium in the suburbs. That's what the Bears are talking about doing. That's what the Browns are talking about doing. So now I think one of the plays isn't, well, now we're going to move. The Browns aren't going anywhere. They've already moved one of their teams before. It didn't really go well the last time. The new thing is we are going to play the suburbs against downtown and see how it works for you. That has really turned into the how we're going to get the most money out of this. And that's exactly what the Chiefs and the Royals are doing. That's what you should be doing as a company that doesn't want to pay for something. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about game one of the NBA Finals. Vern will be on the show coming up at 3 o'clock. Keep it right here, sir. Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
All right, I got a couple of thoughts here. Let's talk a little bit of NBA, and I promise you we'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. Now, this is something that I potentially need you guys help with because it is a little bit confusing to me. I have a mass communications degree. Now, it took me a long time to get that mass communications degree. I'm pretty proud of it. I dropped out of school to work at 610. I worked with Nick Wright, worked my way up. And eventually, you know what I was thinking? Man, I should go back to school. And I did. I'm very proud of that. I got my degree. Rob, what's your degree? You went to the University of Kansas, one of the top schools in the country. What's your degree in?
I studied communications at Kansas.
Okay. So you and I got a very similar degree from two very different kind of universities. And I took that degree, and you know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be a sports talk radio host. Ever since I was 10 years old, this is what I wanted to do, and I feel very blessed, very fortunate that I was able to do this. I don't really see myself having too many other jobs. So it blows my mind with I know what my qualifications are to see that there are so many television executives out there. Like, I'm thinking, man, I'm in the wrong business. I'm in the wrong industry, the wrong profession. I cannot imagine caring about the ratings of the NBA Finals. Are they going to cancel the show? I mean, yeah, they cancel some shows if the ratings are poor, right? But that's not what they're talking about doing with the NBA. In fact, I know they're not planning on doing that. They just signed new television deals. Are we watching the games because everybody else is watching the games? Or are we watching them because the games are intriguing? You have an Indiana Pacers team that is the embodiment of being the underdog. I thought America liked the underdog. I mean, we like the underdog in almost every other situation. This is a team that has been, or they were, heading into game one, they were the biggest underdog in the NBA in its last 25 years. They went on the road, 9.5-point dogs. They were down 8 with 3 minutes to go, and they won in game one in the other team's building. I don't care how many people watched it. I watched it. Are you getting some kind of points on the package? Is the NBA sending you a little percentage? It's just the entire conversation about the ratings are so stupid to me. We do this with basketball. We do this with baseball. Are they canceling baseball games? Because I don't think so. And they seem to be doing quite fine to me. You want to know how I know? They just gave Juan Soto $700 million to play baseball. Somebody is making a lot of money off paying baseball if they can give that much money to their employees. It's such a silly argument to me. We got two very good teams, two great young stars battling head-to-head. And in Tyrese Halliburton, if you are somebody that believes in this Mamba mentality, show me a player in the last 5 years that has embodied that more in this postseason than what I've seen with Tyrese Halliburton. What he did yesterday was ice cold. That's what it was. It was ice cold. We're down one with less than 15 seconds to go. Everybody in that gym knows who's about to get the ball. And it is, I'm going to get to my spot on the floor. I'm about to hit this mid-range jumper, and I'm about to ruin your night. There's people there that spent $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 to be a game one of the NBA Finals. And you know that walk to your car when your team just lost, and you're just talking to yourself, mad, fuming. You're going through all the plays, all the opportunities that you missed. And Tyrese Halliburton has given every single fan base this summer that feeling. He gave it to the Knicks. He gave it to the Cavs. He gave it to Milwaukee. Every fan base knows that walk to the car because of Tyrese Halliburton. This is now a series. This is a series. You have to take the Indiana Pacers seriously now. And I know a lot of people didn't. A lot of people, they got no chance of winning. Maybe they'll get a game in this. Everybody kind of talked down on the Pacers. I don't know how you can continue to do that. They've proven you wrong at every single turn. They're for sure winning another game in this series. I don't think the Thunder are beating them four straight times, especially if two of them include back-to-back games in Indiana. No, they get one of them two games in Indiana. I think this series is going to be tied 2-2 heading into game five, and then we'll see if the Thunder can win game five and game six and win this in six games. It has to change your calculus. I don't even think the Pacers played that well yesterday. They had 17 more turnovers than the Thunder. The Thunder took 19 more shots than they did, and they lost at home in regulation. We're not talking about a game in which the Pacers went in there and shot the lights out. No, we're talking about what we have seen is just one team has just snatched victory away from its opponent at every single turn. I hate this conversation. Is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar or not? It just feels like we repackaged the face of the NBA conversation and we found a way to repackage it. I don't think Tyrese Halliburton is a superstar. It doesn't matter. He potentially is the best player on a championship level team and has shown you an ability to rise up in the most adverse situations and guide his team to a victory. I sat here last summer and I heard everybody tell me that basically this is what Jason Tatum was going to do. Remember when you guys were so mad that Jason Tatum wasn't playing? Oh, how can you do this? This is unfair. He's got to play. Tyrese Halliburton was sitting right next to Jason Tatum on the bench during the Olympics and didn't complain at all about it. And you know what he did? He has obviously taken that, fueled it, and he has his team 3 wins away from an NBA championship. This has been an incredible run. Honestly, it has been an incredible run. Phenomenal run. We'll see if it continues. We'll see if this is where things end for the Pacers. But another one of those games that you sit back and you think to yourself, yo, how did they win? How?
I mean, I don't want to take away from the actual basketball conversation and the sport that happened, because I feel like the Pacers have been outplayed like 6 games this postseason. I feel like they're 6-0 in those games. We were sitting here talking about the Knicks series. They probably shouldn't have won game 1. They did. There were games in the series we felt like, oh man, they shouldn't win that one. They did. Was it game 5 against the Cavs? Same thing. I feel like the Pacers are undefeated in games they're outplayed. But let's talk about the ratings for 2 seconds. Because I think this problem expands beyond just the NBA. I don't know it's the NFL's fault, but when did we become obsessed with the ratings and that's the only metric we use to judge if a sport is popular or not? College basketball had a really exciting Final Four this year, but people told me it didn't matter because the ratings weren't as good as an NFL game. The NBA Finals, game 1 was sensational. The ratings will be mediocre, and people will tell me, see, it's not an important sport. The World Series, every year it comes out, and it's like 2.6 million people watch game 1. Everyone's like, see, no one cares about baseball. When did ratings, when did ESPN, TNT, TBS, when did this become our go-to metric for if a sport event was good, bad, or indifferent? Because if we're going to do that, then we should stop all sports other than football and college football in this country, because that's the only thing that rates really well, and I hate that's the metric we use.
And honestly, then if that was the case, we wouldn't start watching college basketball, and most people don't start watching it until the middle of March, like the middle of March. I'm with you. It's so weird to me. I don't care how many people plan on watching the NBA Finals. I plan on watching the NBA Finals, and I'm telling you, it has been a remarkable run by Tyrese Halliburton. I'm not saying this is who he is, but it feels very Allen Iverson on the Philadelphia 76ers in the early 2000s. It felt like yesterday that shot was his over Tyronn Lue moment. That's what it felt like. I'm sitting there, I'm playing the new Mario Kart, and I kind of have it on in the corner. I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. And the next thing I know, it's like 5 minutes left, and I'm like, wait, like, they might actually have a chance to get back in this. So I put it back on the big TV, and I'm telling you, it was a surgical finish for Tyrese Halliburton yesterday. Phenomenal game 1. Really excited for game 2. You can catch that on Sunday on ABC. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Josh Vernier. We'll get you ready for the Royals and White Sox coming up later today. Keep it right here. So drive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.